there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into this Sunday morning podcast. Today, we're knocking out a little early since I want to watch my Kansas City Chiefs later. I'm happy to be joined by Brandon today. How you doing, my man?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on, Emerson. A little jealous of you. Wish my Packers could have at least made the postseason this year, but, you know, we couldn't even beat Detroit at home, so that's great.
Ooh, you guys have an exciting offseason coming up. We'll see about everything. Aaron Rodgers and all that. That'll be fun. Are you ready to move? Are you want Aaron Rodgers back next year?
Pardon me. It's really bittersweet because I don't. I love Aaron Rodgers. He was my favorite quarterback for years. He was my first NFL jersey I ever owned. I love the man. It's time. It's time to move on. And it's to start. We're in the hole cap wise. We need more draft capital as well. Aaron Rodgers' contract, he doesn't play to what we're paying him. At the end of it.
Woo! All right. I love that kind of spiciness as we start this podcast. Before we get going here, I'm going to shout out WynnBET. The Sports Gambling Fantasy Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-day parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. At sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. We are also giving out a signed Kenneth Walker jersey for a random 5-star Apple podcast review this week. So I will be tweeting out a link for that later. Otherwise, you can just look up SGPN on Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review to enter that contest. So with that, we'll get going, everybody. With these playoffs, I usually just dive right in, you know, because I don't have time to go into all the games and everything. But with these playoffs, I like to, you know, do a little preview and everything. So we'll start off with the Philadelphia Eagles and San Francisco 49ers, since that's the first game of today.
Yeah.
Defensive matchup, Brock Purdy versus Jalen Hurts. How do you see this game playing out, man? And who are you taking tonight or this afternoon?
It's going to be a real back and forth game. It's going to come down, honestly, to can the 49ers limit Jalen Hurts as a rusher and make him purely a passer in this game. The most mobile quarterback they've played this year is Geno Smith, so they're not really prepared too much for the rush element of the game. And it's just going to come down to that. Can you make Jalen Hurts one-dimensional? Because I think they're good enough in coverage on the back end for San Francisco to really limit Philly scoring-wise. The only real factor there is going to be if A.J. Brown can beat him deep.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at Brock Purdy in this matchup on the other side. You know, it's just like he's in the best situation humanly possible. He plays with Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk. He has Kyle Shanahan scheming these plays for him. You know, when I'm watching play, he's throwing a lot of wide receivers who are wide open, you know, because they're talented and they have a skilled offensive play caller who's just scheming and wide open. So, you know, when I see Purdy try to make throws to the outside, I think he floats them a little bit. You know, he struggled a little bit last week, and, you know, the Philadelphia has a very good defense too. Yeah. I do think the 49ers have a better defense, but I just think that the difference is going to be here. Jalen Hurts is having a fantastic year. He's on a tear, and you're going to see him make enough plays to beat the last pick in last year's NFL draft, Brock Purdy. I think if Brock Purdy has a poor game here, given last week too, I think we could just see Trey Lance thrown right back into the starting role this summer. You know what I mean?
Even though I do think the 49ers take this game, Trey Lance is their starter next year.
That's what I mean. I agree.
People, like, they gave up 3 first-round picks for this man. Mm-hmm. He has physical upside through the roof. And you have to think, Kyle Shanahan has been wanting a mobile quarterback ever since he ran RG3s into the ground.
I totally agree with you. It's just, Purdy, he's playing with legend. Like, you know, he has a yeah. skill players at every single position, and he's not throwing. You know, he's having a great year, but you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that could do what he's doing in this offense. So
I mean, he has the best skill position players since like Peyton Manning in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, it's
and I honestly, the matchup I do like in this game for the 49ers, though, George Kittle against. If they can line him up, get him up against Kaiser White. White has been giving up a little bit more yardage the back half of the year compared to the first couple of weeks. That's really the matchup they need to take advantage of. But like you said, if he has to try to throw on the outside, it's not going to be a pretty game for him with James Bradbury and Darius Slay. And also, yeah. I have a hot take about Deebo Samuel. I don't think he's a great separator. I don't think he's great at getting too much separation from corners. I think if he's on the outside, I don't think he's going to make too much noise.
Yeah, you know, he's more of a player that you have to scheme open, you know what I mean? And once you get the ball in his hands, it's that, like, okay, then, oh, dang, you know, then he's dangerous. So I agree with you in that scenario. So he's
like a top five player.
Yeah, you know, like in like Kadarius Toney, like for the Chiefs, is kind of similar in that way too. They all have, you know, all those guys kind of have similar play styles. Laviska Shenault kind of plays like, he's not on their level, but he kind of plays like that as well. Okay, but now I can't wait to get started talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and Bengals today. No. I do not believe the Bengals can beat us four times in a row. Okay, they beat us three times in a row, 9 points total, 3-point game each time. It's the Kansas City Chiefs' turn. Everything's going wrong for the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes' ankle injury. Travis Kelce is expected to play today. Oh my goodness! Yeah. Like that isn't that a horrible headline? You know what I mean?
So I know.
I am ready for this. Kansas City Chiefs are going to take this today. I'm taking the spread as well. I think it's fluctuated so much. It was Kansas City Chiefs favored, Bengals favored. Pick them back to Kansas City. So I think, yeah, so it's back to Kansas City now slightly. But so I'll be rolling with Kansas City Chiefs today. I think the game will be a little more low scoring than people anticipate. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, Frank Clark and Chris Jones, are going to get some heat on Joe Burrow. Patrick Mahomes is going to be a little more hobbled. I'm thinking 24-21 today.
Ooh, I like it. I do think it's going to be a lower scoring game, like you're saying. I'm just really interested the how healthy Patrick Mahomes is. And even if his ankle is messed up, does that even matter? Because the last time he played on a high ankle sprain, he threw 4 touchdowns against Oakland. Well, the Raiders back when they were still in Oakland. So, I mean, and like the weakness of the Bengals really is their outside corners. Eli Apple, I know all Chiefs fans I know hate Eli Apple with a passion. I've never met a Chiefs fan that liked him. They're going to try to take advantage of him deep on some of those deep crossing routes with MBS and Watson. And if they can hit on some of those, I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. But I don't know. There's just something in me that's just saying, I don't think KC's defense can stop Joe Burrow in this offense. I do think it's going to be lower scoring. I would take the same score you do, but just the flip side of it.
Okay.
Bengals 24-21. When you said there's no way they can beat us 4 times in a row, I just thought of the Buffalo Bills back in the 90s when they made it the 4 straight Super Bowls and lost 4 in a row. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, my friend. If Mahomes was healthy, I think you guys would take it, but hey, Mahomes may not be able to.
I love Patrick Mahomes' trainer, how confident he is. I love those confidence tweets, tweeting pictures of Patrick Mahomes, like, you know, a random like ankle like x-ray, and then putting like a pit bull with Mahomes hair on top of it. I love it. I love that confidence.
The fact that there was the video of Mahomes warming up, that's a good sign that he can at least like kind of jump, like walk around a little bit.
He was jogging at practice on Wednesday. Oh man, I'm ready for I'm ready for today. I'm ready for people to be doubting us. I was hoping the Bengals would go in favor today. That's what I was hoping. I was hoping to be underdogs for like the first time ever in a playoff game.
I'm more worried about Mahomes once the game's going.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You're right. You know, just one hit on that ankle, one little twist on that ankle could turn everything around here. And he's, you know, all of a sudden he's hot. I didn't think, I thought the worst last week when he was barely walking around. So I'm happy to see he's doing well. But like I said, they're going to have to protect him this week. And we're going to have to need to get some heat on Joe Burrow that they didn't get last week. Chris Jones is going to need to have a big game. Frank Clark comes to play in the playoffs. That's where he decides that he's going to make all of his money, because he certainly doesn't do it during the regular season.
Yeah.
And Dunlap will be a big two. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited. But with that, We'll dive into the fantasy way too early 2023 fantasy football rankings. Really, I got to shout out WynnBET one more time. The WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-day parlays. The NFL playoffs are here. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100. Limited to state availability. And, of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I'll remind you one more time that we're giving away a free Kenneth Walker signed jersey this week as well for a 5-star Apple Podcast review. So look up the Sports Gambling Fantasy Podcast on Apple and get in the sweepstakes to win that free Kenneth Walker jersey. All right, man. So it's never too early to do rankings. You know what I mean? It's we do it in January. We'll do them in February. We'll do them in March. So
yep.
Here we are. We're going to do top 12 today. Just highlight the big boys. We're going to do quarterbacks right away. And I figured, just for time's sake, we'll do top three, we'll do in sections of three. And it kind of fits well with the quarterbacks because I have a very, very clear top three. And it's kind of a little bit of a drop off after that. I have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts in that order. The reigning MVP, number one, maybe doesn't have that rushing upside, maybe doesn't have quite the ceiling those other two have, but is by far the safest pick there. I think Josh Allen, had a little bit of a rough end of the year there. Turnovers were an issue. I'm expecting that rushing upside to continue, though. And same thing with Jalen Hurts. He missed two games as well and was still fantastic. 13th in passing yards despite missing two games. So I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a big year next year. What do you think of those top three?
I have almost the same exact top three, to be honest with you. So I went Josh Allen one. I completely agree with you. His rushing upside, especially what he the amount of touchdowns he adds in the red zone, like he's going to get those points for you. And he's loaded with wide receiver weapons. Gabe Davis is inconsistent, but still a solid number two. Stephon Diggs is a top three wide receiver in the NFL. And number two for me is Patrick Mahomes. I'm just more worried about the high end for Mahomes throughout the year. Is he going to still be able to hit the same ceiling of points that Allen and Jalen Hurts are going to be able to with their rushing upside? Not having a Tyreek Hill, but even without him, he's still a top three fantasy quarterback, top two. Might even end up number one next year like you're projecting.
It's close. I definitely see the upside with Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. I just think Patrick Mahomes is right there just with his passing. And I just think he's a little bit safer of a pick there. Josh Allen, he is getting up there. He has about what I think I wrote it down here. He has about 1,500 rushing yards the last two seasons. He's getting up there and, he's kind of reaching that almost that age apex for a rushing quarterback. You know what I mean? Mm. Obviously, quarterbacks last a long time, but kind of that Dak Prescott, after a few years, you take a lot of hits. You're getting a little bit up there anymore. What was that?
I like the comp of Cam Newton form, like career-wise. I feel like Josh Allen over the past like 2.5 years is just 2015 Cam Newton.
I think he's a better passer than Cam Newton. I think.
Just his MVP season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only time when Cam was actually a good, plus passer, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And Josh Allen's fantastic. I just, obviously those turnovers were a little bit concerning. The quick game, it wasn't the same without their offensive coordinator. So without Dabble. So, they every single play downfield seemed to have to go 30 yards, which they were the best in the NFL at hitting that, but it's still a hard play to hit. And when they didn't, there seemed like their offense fluttered a little bit, obviously struggled last week. He was tied for second in the NFL. With interceptions. So, I'm expecting him to be fantastic. None of the really things I even said matter for fantasy football. He's so explosive rushing upside,
Yeah. If we were talking about IRL perspective, Mahomes plays Josh Allen, just because the raw fact of what you said, turnovers, Josh Allen actually led in turnover worthy plays. So times when the ball was possibly could have been picked off or in defender's hands. And also Josh Allen is a liability fumbling the ball as well.
Yeah, he does eject the ball. He has that Daniel Jones tendency to eject the ball, which Daniel Jones got a lot better at that this year. But you know, that's what I always made fun of him about. He just has the tendency just when he gets tackled, just to throw that football 10 feet up in the air. So
Oh, it's interesting seeing you said that, because Daniel Jones improved the year he got Brian Daboll and Josh Allen, like,
regressed. Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting, right? Daniel Jones had a fantastic year, and I'm going to be getting to him eventually as well in these rankings. But the next three that I have up here are, you know, it's I think this is another clear, like, tier break top three, you know, next three here. And I could, you know, I'm interested to hear, you know, I could see any of these three in any of these order. But I have Joe Burrow at four, Lamar Jackson at five, and Justin Herbert at six. And, you know, Lamar Jackson is disappointed 3 years in a row. After week four last year, he only had seven passing touchdowns, but that upside is too tantalizing. He was really good with Rashad Bateman in the lineup. The Ravens just need to get this man receivers. They need to get him signed, of course. I'm assuming that he'll be back with the Baltimore Ravens, because there's no way they're going to let him go. But they need to get him some weapons. Bateman needs to stay healthy, and I think he's still a quarterback with QB1 upside. Obviously, Joe Burrow had a fantastic year playing with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Herbert had a weird year, though. Quarterback 11 despite playing 17 all games, 15th in fantasy points per game, but 8th in expected fantasy points per game. So he was that, you know, that's considering, you know, average play at that position. So he was not quite, you know, average according to that. So, you know, had a little bit of a disappointing year for him. What do you think of those next three?
So I have a pretty similar standing for the next three. Of course, I have Joe Burrow next, Justin Herbert, but my real X factor after that is Trevor Lawrence. I think we're about to see another big jump from Trevor Lawrence, another year under Doug Peterson. We're going to see Calvin Ridley get added to this offense as well next year. We're just going to see them keep trying to add on this offense, keep growing Trevor Lawrence as a whole. And a sign that I really liked from last week's game against Kansas City, Trevor Lawrence is starting to do a little bit more of what he did in college, using his legs a little bit more in a more physical manner. He averaged over 7 yards after contact last week against KC.
I'll tell you, that's not saying much against our defense.
That's not saying much against your defense. Man, trucking one of your linebackers is still something when he's giving up like 20, 30 pounds.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. No, Trevor Lawrence was good. I'm really excited to hear you say that, because I have a lot of Trevor Lawrence in Dynasty.
Yeah. And like what you were saying about Justin Herbert, I love watching Justin Herbert play, because the Chargers have the Terminator back there at quarterback. He is so good under pressure, so good at not allowing pressures to turn it into sacks. Good when he actually can throw the deep ball. It's just this offense they're calling for him, and I'm not surprised Lombardi got fired. Just check down merchant is what that man is as an OC. And they just weren't taking advantage of the weapons they had at all. Even though Mike Williams and Keenan Allen were out at multiple points during the year, it just seemed like this offense was stale and boring and just didn't really take advantage of the quarterback they had. It's like they're running the offense that you would expect them to play if they had Tua as their quarterback physically.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting you say that, because on the goal line, the Chargers just like they just want to give the ball to Austin Eckler. For some reason, they take the ball out of Justin Herbert's hand, and they just want him to toss a short pass to Austin Eckler just pitch it to him. So it's very interesting. I'm expecting a bounce back here. You know, I can't believe they kept Staley. So that really surprised me.
Yeah.
I thought Herbert would be due for a bounce back, you know, next year because of maybe a new coach and everything. So we'll see if that happens. Maybe he gets rid of some of those boneheaded play calls. But yes, the next three I had up, yes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. I understand you not having Lamar Jackson there. It is definitely speculative. I just have to buy one more time just to see. If he disappoints for 4 years in a row, that's it. But leading into that, the next three I had up were Justin Fields, Deshaun Watson, and then Trevor Lawrence. And I know Trevor Lawrence at QB9 seems so disrespectful, but it's just the rushing upside. You know, I got some grief. You know, I released I'm doing a ranking series too in articles, and I got some grief on Reddit for having Trevor Lawrence at QB9. I get it. You know, it's not it when you look at QB9 and you see how well he played, especially at the end of the year, you're like, how is that possible? But it's just I like the rushing upside of a couple of these more quarterbacks, and I expect Deshaun Watson to have a bounce back year next year. You know, we're not going to dive into all the, you know, the criminal case stuff, but he, you know, I expect, you know, he's obviously not been focused on football the last couple of years. you know, especially as much as the average quarterback, starting quarterback in the NFL. He didn't play for nearly 2 years. He was the quarterback 5 in fantasy 3 straight years prior to that. I expect him to be better. I expect the offense to be a lot better. If Kevin Stefanski kind of get his play calling together, I think that'll be a lot better. So Justin Fields was just fantastic. I think the Bears are going to, you know, they have so much cap this year that I think they're going to get him some weapons. Would I rather have Trevor Lawrence running my NFL team? I would. But I think Justin Fields is going to have a big year this year, fantasy football, you know, that rushing upside. I do think the offensive the passing game has to improve as well. And then, yes, I do have Lawrence at quarterback 9. I expect him to be right up there. You know, I could see you arguing all the way up to quarterback 5 for Trevor Lawrence. So I do think he has a big year too. Like you said, Calvin Ridley coming back. I don't think he'll supersede Christian Kirk as the wide receiver 1 in the offense still. But yeah. Calvin Ridley will certainly be productive. You know, they need to, I'm sure they're going to try to re-sign Evan Ingram. Zay Jones is slotted to be back. Hopefully we get to see some Travis Etienne passing work. And I'm going to talk about that in the rankings here, too. But we'll get into that in the fantasy running back rankings. But what are your next three there?
So my next three, so this is where Lamar comes in for me at 7. I want to see a new OC. I know Greg Roman got fired. I'm excited to see an OC that actually uses wide receivers in this offense and actually uses them downfield. It might suck a little bit for Mark Andrews, but I think Rashad Bateman is going to have a big year next year with Lamar Jackson if he can stay healthy, because he was such a great deep threat for him. And like you said, I can't quit Lamar Jackson either. And he's honestly improved as a passer. It's just he hasn't really had any receivers to really throw to. No one's getting open except his tight ends and Greg Roman's offense. With a new system, I think Lamar is going to thrive, and I don't think there's a shot of him ending up anywhere outside of Baltimore. They're going to give him whatever he wants.
I expect that as well. I just don't think there's any chance. Who have at 8 and 9 again?
8 is Justin Fields. Like you were saying, with their cap situation, I think they're going to add onto this team. And there was a rumor going around a couple weeks ago about maybe the Colts trading up to 1 and maybe that trade involving Michael Pittman. I would absolutely love it if that would go down for Chicago.
I would love that for Chicago. They have so much cap room, and they have, you know, draft capital. They're going to get some weapons in for him, no doubt about it.
The only thing that kind of hurts Justin Fields there is this is not a good free agent class for wide receivers.
No, it's not. You're right.
The best one is Alan Lazard, and because I don't think Juju is leaving KC anytime soon.
We'll see. He's kind of been disappointing these last couple of weeks. You know, Kadarius Toney's been making all these big plays. You know, he's hardly playing. You know, whenever he's out on the field, he plays a lot. He gets the ball a lot, is what I meant to say. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Juju. I don't think if he gets a money bag after this year, I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs will bother. But if he's willing to sign on another relatively cheaper contract, I think a good possibility he comes back.
Juju wants a Super Bowl, and his best shot is with Mahomes, and I think he's going to take a cheaper deal, honestly.
I hope you're right.
And 9 for me is Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a quarterback I just can't quit because I love watching him play. He has great rushing ability, strong arm, and I honestly do think Sean Payton's going to be his head coach going forward. I think that's where Sean Payton ends up, is in Arizona. I think they're willing to give up anything for stability. They are willing to also allow Kyler to take his time recovering from this ACL. This is more long-term. I think Kyler is going to be a great quarterback with Sean Payton because he also has a rapport with short quarterbacks. Drew Brees, only 6'1".
Absolutely. 5'10". Yeah, I just have him a bit lower in these 2023 just because of the fact that I do expect him to miss part. You know, I know it's been I saw last week that there were reports that he's going to play week 1, and then I just saw – Rappaport post that he does not, you know, they expect him to take his time, sweet time, and maybe not be available week 1. So, you know, that puts him, I do not have Kyler Murray ranked as a quarterback 1 here, but I do love Kyler Murray in Dynasty. I think he's a great buy. I think, you know, I think this year could limit his rushing upside a little bit coming off that ACL. But I think, you know, you're still looking at a guy who's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL. So I like that pick a lot. Next three up here, I think, you know, it's another, you know, three. And then, you know, I had trouble with my last one here, and I'll talk about that. But Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones, and Tua. Dak Prescott had some turnover issues, led the NFL in interceptions despite missing five games. But CeeDee Lamb is fantastic. I expect them to try to get back Dalton Schultz. Offense should be very good next year. Offensive line is very, very good. Dak Prescott doesn't have the rushing upside anymore, but he should still be a low quarterback one. Daniel Jones is my next man up, and I might flip-flop that. Now, you know, I wrote an article. I just am talking myself through it. I might flip Dak Prescott and Daniel Jones, especially if Daniel Jones needs a wide receiver first, and I'll flip that ring.
Yep.
But he really fixed the turnovers, 8 turnovers in 2022, 708 rushing yards, really coming in as that one of those, you know, the great dual threat quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's a cheat code for fantasy football. So I really like him as quarterback one next year. And Tua, I have Tua up here because a deciding factor over Kirk Cousins was the weapons. I just think Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, I'm just assuming that Tua is going to be healthy. I don't think we can assume that. So, you know, it's a risky pick. One more concussion, I'm concerned, obviously, what that would mean for him. But I think Tua, as long as he's playing and on the field, I think, you know, quarterback 12 could even be conservative.
Yeah. So I'm right there with you. My biggest fear with Tua is if he does get a concussion again, should he even continue to play, or even like, should he even play next year with those concussions, long-term health wise, is that the best idea for him? I know him and his family, they're all on board. They want to do it. So I do think Tua's out there next year, and that's why I have him as my quarterback 11. I have 10 Deshaun Watson, Tua 11, and then Dak at 12.
Okay.
I think Watson is going to have a little bit of bounce back here, like you were saying earlier. Stefanski is going to scheme up some things for him. Maybe I have him a little bit too low because of some bias that you alluded to earlier, but I do think Watson's going to have a bounce back year. I think David Njoku is going to love having him at quarterback next year.
Yeah, I have. We're going to talk about him later on too.
Yeah, and the other two, Tua and Dak, they have amazing like play callers and receiving cores around them. Their situations are what has their floor where they are.
We almost had the same one. Who'd you have in that I didn't over Daniel Jones? You didn't have Daniel Kyler. Jones, right?
Kyler.
Kyler. Okay, perfect. All right. Yep, that's right. So we had all – I feel like 11 of the 12 were the same, just a slightly different order. Very nice. We'll dive right into the running backs here. You know, this one was tough, especially at the very top. Mm-hmm. I had a hard time. I have Christian McCaffrey ranked 1. I don't like it. I have Austin Eckler ranked 2. That's kind of hard too. And I have Jonathan Taylor ranked 3. And I didn't, you know, I don't feel great about any of those. Yeah. It's all very close. And I could see myself changing my mind here. My reasoning though, Christian McCaffrey is just, you know, if I thought he was being used, if I was the head coach of the 49ers, Christian McCaffrey would be a fantasy, running back 1 next year. But Elijah Mitchell gets a lot of workload for somebody who I just don't get it. Every time he's healthy, Kyle Shanahan loves Elijah Mitchell. He's been out rushing, getting more rushing attempts than Christian McCaffrey these last couple weeks. And if that's going to be the case, you know, we're counting on passing work with the, you know, Debo in a low passing volume offense with Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. That's a little tough. Austin Eckler, he's been fantastic, but in another sense that, you know, it's all touchdowns and receptions, which I think is a little harder to depend on than rushing attempts, where he gets very little work. So if that continues, you know, obviously, you know, he could finish as the RB1 next year, but just a little bit more volatile. And Jonathan Taylor, 17th in fantasy points per game in 2022. But the offensive line played uncharacteristically poorly. Yeah. Matt Ryan was a disaster. I expect him to be in a lot better situation next year. So that's my reasoning on those top three. What do you think?
I agree with you. The top three was incredibly difficult to do for this year, especially going the next year. I live in Indianapolis, fun fact for everyone. Hearing the fans around here talk about Matt Ryan from when they traded for him in comparison to midway through the year, hilarious. The best. Because they went from, we got a Hall of Fame quarterback, and it's going to be like when Manning went to Denver, to he's garbage. Get him out of here.
I can imagine.
My top three running back rankings, so maybe I cheated a little bit at one. I put Bijan Robinson.
Oh, my goodness. What? Here was the deal, you know, and here was the confusion, you know, you know what? Feel free to comment on me. You know what? I switched it up on you. You know what? I was doing my, and I agree with you. And I think I know I think I see where the confusion is.
Yeah.
Last week we were doing Dynasty, and then I switched it up this week to way too early rankings, which is fine, man. Hey, you know, we'll do a little combo both here. I love it.
Hey,
you know what? And you can sell me. You know, we'll do just a little tandem here.
Robinson for next year too.
No, that's hey. You know what? No, you know I love this because you're gonna you can tell me why. And I agree with you. Why Bijan Robinson is the RB1 next in Dynasty? Because I agree.
Because Bijan Robinson is going to go to a team that is already going to be loaded offensively. Think of the way NFL teams are thinking today. They devalue the running back position. If a team is still building and needs to put more valuable positions on the field, they're not going to go get a running back. It's going to be a team that already has an established offensive line, or he has good skill position players, and more likely than not, a young quarterback on a cheap deal.
I love that.
He could, or even if I love the idea of somehow him and I don't think he's going to end up to the KC. I don't think he's going to fall that far. I love the idea of maybe KC or Philly with their second first round pick would be another great option for him.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of great places, and I don't have Bijan in my rankings here just because I didn't include rookies yet. Mm-hmm. But I when Bijan lands on a spot, he will be up here. I really don't care where he ends up. I think he'll end up being an RB1, so I love that. And give me those other two dynasty top three running backs.
Jonathan Taylor, because I do think Jonathan Taylor is going to have a bounce back season. The offensive line is still in place and should still be talented. They just had an off year. They are going to be adding in a rookie quarterback this year. I don't think Jim Irsay is going to allow them to trade for another vet quarterback. So they're going to pound the ball a lot. They're not going to put it all on the rookie to possibly get hurt. They've learned their lesson from Andrew Luck. And we're going to see Jonathan Taylor get about 25, 30 touches a game again.
I love it. And who's the three?
CMC. I think with the PPR upside, I think he's still – Christian McCaffrey still either puts up 100 yards from scrimmage or a touchdown almost every game he plays the full game of. And I think that kind of floor consistency is what you're looking for.
I love it, man. I'll tell you, we're going to cover so many bases today. I'm going to have to add to the YouTube description. We're covering Dynasty. Oh. We're covering Redraft as well.
And,
bam.
And that's on me for the confusion, no, y'all.
Actually,
like, I did way too early rankings for like Dynasty where I have them right now.
Hey, you know what? I actually should have been more – you know what? It was really confusing on you. And I even thought about it yesterday. I was like, man, I wonder if he thought – I even thought about it yesterday. I was like, I wonder if he thinks we're doing Dynasty because we were doing Dynasty last week on this pod. Mm-hmm. And then I just said way too early 2023 rankings, and I didn't say Redraft. Yeah. So I was wondering, but hey, this is perfect. We're going to add to the show description. People are, you know, this is Dynasty people really listening in anyway, this time of year anyway. So this is perfect. For Redraft, at my 4-6 here, I have Saquon Barkley, mm-hmm. Derrick Henry, and then I have Josh Jacobs. Saquon Barkley, 5th in fantasy points per game. I'd like to see that receiving work increase a little bit. Only 338 receiving yards, 57 receptions. That is relative because Saquon Barkley is fantastic. And that's that. Most other running backs would be very happy with that. But 721 yards and 91 receptions is rookie year. So hopefully maybe as we get full year, finally healthy year, and maybe he's going to get a little more receiving work next year. So that's what I'll be looking for. Derrick Henry, the only reason he's my RB5 is because of age. You know, I'd probably put him at RB3 or 2 if I, you know, just taking all that out of consideration. It's just hard to believe that he's still doing what he's doing. And he got a career high in receptions and receiving yards last year. So, you know, he could not even be slowing down. We could just see another Derrick Henry year. So in redraft leagues, I'm willing to take the chance there. In dynasty leagues, I have him like as my dynasty RB, like 18. Yeah. You know, he's diving down there just because I'm a little bit more age adverse. But Derrick Henry, RB5 for redraft. Josh Jacobs is RB6. 2,000 all-purpose yards. You know, just, you know, I think his best return for fantasy will be to return to the Raiders. You know, I think that'll be best for fantasy value. Mixed results, changing teams at this stage in their career for running backs. So I'd like to see that, and he might rise a little bit in my rankings too. Now hit me with those dynasty RB4 running backs 4-6.
So my 4-6, funny enough, 4 is the same for both redraft and dynasty for us. Saquon Barkley, I absolutely love Saquon. I think the more time Brian Daboll gets with him, the more he's going to know how to use him in the passing game. He's already one of the more explosive runners, had the most rushing yards when the rush was picked up the most yards when the rush was over 15 yards. So he's great on those big explosive runs. After Saquon, I had Kenneth Walker. I absolutely love Kenneth Walker in Seattle. No matter what, Pete Carroll loves pounding the rock, and Kenneth Walker is a great runner at the football. He's going to keep getting work.
I love it.
Six, I I believe he's going to recover and come back as being just as explosive as he is now. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be his quarterback next year, Breece Hall.
Oh, you think Aaron Rodgers is going to New York Jets?
I think they're willing to do it. I think the Jets have already kind of flirted and say they're willing to give up multiple firsts for Aaron Rodgers. They have a good team around them. Garrett Wilson is a really good wide receiver. I can see Aaron Rodgers liking it. Has a connection. I mean, Robert Saleh, similar like style coach to Matt LaFleur. They were both on multiple staffs together. Like, I don't know.
We'll see what happens. I wonder if Aaron Rodgers will want to go there, but I like that. I actually have I have Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker ahead of Barkley and Christian McCaffrey in my dynasty rankings. So I like my young running back, so that'd be the reasoning behind that. But so I love those picks. So next up, leading into that, my next three running backs for redraft: Kenneth Walker at 7, Najee Harris as a surprise at 8, and Nick Chubb at 9. Kenneth Walker, just a combine demon, fantastic, high breakaway run rate last year. You know, we're going to get to see him get a full workload from week one this year, so I love to see that. He even had a game last year where he showed he could catch the football, actually. Like, some people questioned whether he could, you know. Right. So I expect Kenneth Walker to have a big year. Najee Harris was really good at the end of the year. He had a 3 out of 4 games with a top 15 running back performance in PPR leagues. Started off slow with a Liz Frank injury and learning with a rookie quarterback, so I expect him to have a bounce back year and have really high usage, you know, just because I expect them to want to take the, you know, limit Kenny Pickett's, you know, mistakes, you know, not put too much on his plate. Nick Chubb is my next man up. He was really abysmal at the end of last year. Final 8 games, just 3 top 20 running back 3 times. No passing game work. That's not unusual. But no touchdowns was the problem. Lack of passing. I think he only had one touchdown over that span. So, Lack of touchdown, or maybe no touchdowns over that span. I'd have to go back and look. But, Nick Chubb, I expect to be a little better next year in a better offense, but still back-end RB1, kind of like he usually is. And so, yeah, Dynasty, how about your Dynasty RBs 7 through 9?
All right, 7 through 9. I have Austin Eckler right here at 7. He's still 26 years old, still is going to be with Justin Herbert. He's going to still get a bunch of goal line opportunities no matter who the new OC is going to be. He's going to still get his touchdowns. 8, I have DeAndre Swift. I think DeAndre Swift is going to be able to eat behind this offensive line. Something I love about Detroit, their offensive line is really good at both running both a gap run scheme and a zone run scheme, which you don't see too many teams that really switch back and forth as often as they do, which is another reason why I'm excited for DeAndre Swift, because that's one more thing that defenses aren't really as prepared for, especially as good a vision as Swift has. He was a little down this year because he was a little injured, and Jamal Williams vulturing every single goal line touch away from him. Yeah, I believe in a bounce back year for Swift.
Yeah, you know, I have him as a low end RB1 here, and that's another people where the Redditors were giving me flack about it. They thought I had him ranked way too high. But I'll let you finish up. Yeah,
and
go through the rest of your players.
9 is Travis Etienne. I love ETN as a runner. I would like to see him use more in the receiving game, like you said earlier. He's the best runner they have on their team. He's explosive. I'm excited to see him.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like to see more passing work, man. It's just concerning that, and that leads into my RBs. This perfect lead in because my last 3 RB1s next year are Travis Etienne, DeAndre Swift, and Joe Mixon. Travis Etienne, you know, he has got a lot of work and a lot of rushing attempts after the James Robinson trade. Just only 3 games with over 3 targets, though, after we were told he was a passing running back coming out of college. Well, you know, I don't think his hands or route running are quite as what we thought they were. I think he's more of just an explosive playmaker. So if you can get him a screen pass in space, he can take it. And that's where he did a lot at Clemson. But as far as like a technical route runner, like maybe an Austin Eckler or something, I don't think that is him. So hopefully that changes, though, next year. That's not to say he can't do it. So hopefully we see a little bit more in that. You know, that ranking could end up being a little low. DeAndre Swift is my RB11. I'm just counting on a major bounce back. Never finished better than RB15 or over 617 rushing yards in any given year. But, man, we saw at the end of the year how elite that passing game work is. And, man, if he just gets a full snap load and just 15-plus touches, this guy can be an RB1. Joe Mixon, I have here at his default, just being in that offense, just being a member, just being out there. He's going to have touchdown upside. He's going to get, you know, he's going to have some open running lanes playing with it, with the best skill players in football. So 3.9 yards per attempt last year, though, but a career high in targets of 75. So maybe that can sustain him a little bit next year. And how about you? What are you thinking for those last three RB1s in Dynasty?
Last three RB1s, 10, I have Josh Jacobs. I do think he returns to the Raiders and continues to put up massive yardage for him. I do think over the next 2 years, going to be really big for him. I think Tom Brady ends up in Las Vegas. He almost ended up there the first time. Have you ever seen the interview with Dana White where he talked about how he almost pulled the strings to get Tom Brady over there?
Yeah, that's wild.
I think those strings are going to get pulled this time, and Brady's going to end up in Vegas, especially since another big option for Miami has said they are going to go forward with Tua and not pursue Brady.
Yeah, I mean, that was negligence a couple of years ago by the Raiders picking Carr over Brady. That was bad.
It was. I know.
If I was a Raiders fan, I know some Raiders fans, so I was making fun of them a little bit for that. So after I saw that interview.
Yeah, I know. And then I have Nick Chubb. I think Nick Chubb's going to have a nice couple years with Deshaun Watson. He's going to open up some more rush lanes for him when they start to use Deshaun Watson more in the zone run game, more read options. And then 12, I have Ramondre Stevenson. Fantastic running back. I love seeing a big running back put up so much work in the passing game. It's like we saw so many times last year, Ramondre Stevenson get like 5, 6. I think one game he even had 10 receptions.
Yeah, you know, my only concern about Ramondre Stevenson is maybe that Pierre Strong, I don't know, the Patriots are so weird. I could see, like, Ramondre Stevenson getting early down work next year and Pierre Strong, like, getting passing down work. Like I said, the Patriots are so strange. Like, I just wish he was on any other team.
Yeah, if he was just away from Bill Belichick, who's just a mad scientist. Yeah, well, I mean, he's mad at this point. My hot take about Bill Belichick, he's just not very – great at like in season acquisitions and moves.
Oh, maybe I agree with that.
Drafting.
I agree with that. As a general manager, Bill Belichick is a little overrated. I agree with that.
Yeah.
He makes up for pretty good coaching though.
Yeah.
Well, since you know we got about 20 minutes left, we'll dive into these. Just dive into the wide receivers really quick. Coming at you with redraft and dynasty rankings. We're multitasking on this podcast. Top three. You know, this is actually very similar to dynasty, probably. I have Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and I thought I had CeeDee Lamb here. It's not CeeDee Lamb. Tyreek Hill is my top three. So Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Tyreek Hill as my top three. So a little different than Dynasty, but those top two ought to be the same. So Justin Jefferson, reigning wide receiver one. I don't even need to defend it that much. He's fantastic. No reason to pivot off of him this year. He kind of dominates kind of like Michael Thomas does. Lots of targets, obviously way more athletic than Michael Thomas, but just, you know, low A dot, lots of targets. Ja'Marr Chase, I finally think he, you know, the talent finally matches up with that wide receiver finish. And we see the wide receiver two finish, arguably the most talented wide receiver, missed 5 games. Four due to an injury, one because of the unfortunate incident with Damar Hamlin, and still was the wide receiver 12. So he's more of a 1B for me here. Then I have Tyreek Hill. 1,700 yards, and Tua only played in 13 games. So he could have made a play himself at the NFL receiving record if Tua played the whole year. So I like Tyreek Hill in those top. So who about those top three dynasty wide receivers? I imagine those top two are going to be the same.
The top two are – well, I'm a little bit higher than Ja'Marr Chase and a lot of other people. I actually have Ja'Marr Chase as my number one receiver over Justin Jefferson. Joe Burrow for one adds a little bit – upside to it. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but he doesn't have the ceiling that Joe Burrow does. And also the connection that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have, especially on deep passes, is just amazing. And the last couple weeks of the season, we saw Justin Jefferson get taken away in games. He needs to work on getting off press coverage. Press coverage together with a double team was really giving him a lot of problems during the season, especially when he played against Green Bay the second time against Jair Alexander.
Yeah.
Yeah, put the clamps on him. But Justin Jefferson is my number two in Dynasty. Even all the negatives I just said, fantastic wide receiver. There's not many other holes in his game outside of releases at the line of scrimmage. He can win from the outside. He can win from the slot. Great possession receiver, can also get open deep. Number three is probably where I kind of go out of left field compared to most other people. I have Garrett Wilson as my number three in Dynasty going forward. He was number 13 in targets, even with poor quarterback play. If they have I know. I'm crazy for this one. This one I'm really out there for.
I love it. Hit me with it.
If they get a real upgrade at quarterback, we could see Garrett Wilson take his game to the next level. He was number 13 in the NFL in targets, even with these shit quarterbacks. He's getting open.
I love it, man. You're going to be really sad when I don't have him as my top 12 redraft wide receivers. I have him very high in Dynasty. I have him right on that tier. I had a lot of good names. There's so many good wide receivers. It's no disrespect to him that, you know, not to have him up there. But I love that top three. I love Garrett Wilson. That's a hot take. That's a spicy take, and that's what I'm here for. So perfect. My next three I have up, CeeDee Lamb in my redraft wide receiver four, Cooper Kupp, and Stephon Diggs. CeeDee Lamb, top five wide receiver finish, finally lived up to those expectations people were looking for. Just young, growing with Dak Prescott. I think he's going to have a big year. Cooper Kupp, man, I could move up Cooper Kupp a couple spots once I see this offense. You know, Stafford throwing that football in practice. He was number one in fantasy points per game last year. Even though the offense was a disaster, he was just had like an over 30% target share and just absurd usage. So they were just nonstop giving him the football. He's 30 years old, but he doesn't really rely on crazy athletic ability, more of just a tactician. So I expect Cooper Kupp to have a big year. And like I said, I'm probably going to move him up a couple spots if everything starts going well for the Rams this offseason. And Stephon Diggs at wide receiver six, very good year, another very good year. But he's going to be a very old, 30 years old next November. A lot of wear and tear on those tires. And he kind of had a pretty poor end of the season, weeks 14 through 17, uncharacteristically kind of quiet. So we'll see what happens. I think he finished outside of the top 15 wide receivers in half of the games he played. So we'll see what happens with that next season. But I expect him just to take a tiny quarter step back, we'll say. So that's my top six. How about those dynasty wide receivers, four through six?
All right, four for me. I have A.J. Brown. He has his long-term quarterback one with Jalen Hurts. A.J. Brown, great with game in yards after the catch, yak, and a great deep ball wide receiver. Two things that will come in handy with Jalen Hurts being like they're running the ball a lot. They're going to get the ball out either fast on an RPO or a deep shot on play action. CeeDee Lamb is next after that. A fun fact about CeeDee Lamb: led all receivers with receiving yards out of the slot, which is a great factor to look at because no matter who is going to be a quarterback in Dallas, if Dak goes down for some reason, Cooper Rush is still going to hit him. He's still going to get open against linebackers and third DBs that are going to be covering him. And then right there at six, I have Jalen Waddle of the Miami Dolphins. I think with Josh McDaniels, Jalen Waddle is going to continue to keep getting schemed up. Tua has a great connection with him ever since his rookie year. And they played together at Alabama, so you know he's going to get pumped for targets still.
I love that. That's a good pick. I think, he's – all those guys are fantastic. I don't have really much to say about any of those. But Jalen Waddle, man, he would have had the year that he would have had if Tua played the whole year. Man, I like to think about that. But yeah, he was a little bit boom and bust, especially, you know, with those with those Skylar Thompson out there. He wasn't able to get much success going. He had just had an eye for Tyreek Hill, really. Had a few bad drops in those playoff games, but that's not something I think I'm going to look at really or anything like that.
His first playoff game, he's going to drop a couple balls.
They're nervous, you know, just coincidence, you know what I mean? More than anything, just bad timing, coincidence, you know, bad luck. So the next three I have up, my redraft wide receivers, seven through nine. I have A.J. Brown up in the seventh spot here. He was eighth in fantasy points per game last year, 1,496 receiving yards. Jalen Hurts was able to sustain two wide receiver ones, which is not what anybody would have expected coming into the season, especially with those lack of pass attempts. But the offense was so explosive. Dallas Goedert got hurt. That kind of played a little part in it, I think. This offense is full steam ahead going forward. AJ Brown is as talented as anyone on this list. I just have him a little lower, you know, wide receiver seven, only because, there's a lot of weapons in that offense. And Jalen Hurts is good rushing quarterback. Davante Adams at wide receiver eight. You know, if Brady goes there, this could be too low. But the uncertainty has him as my redraft wide receiver eight this year, and he will be 30, 31 years old next year. I didn't write that down. Usually I do. But he'll be getting a little more up there next year in age. And next up, DeAndre Hopkins. If DeAndre Hopkins would be in my top three wide receivers, probably, if I thought Kyler Murray was going to be healthy to start the season. Gets a little downgrade because I think Kyler Murray might miss some time, might take a little while ways to get back in shape here. So DeAndre Hopkins, a wide receiver 9, but he did receive double-digit targets in 7 of the 9 games he played, and some of those were without Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
How about you?
All right, so going for – so now I have Stephon Diggs here at 7. I do still think with Josh Allen going forward, he's still going to get a lot of targets still. He's still going to be a good wide receiver for them. Like you said, he's going to take a hair – the step back, but he's still, he's a tactician running routes. He's still going to get open and get touchdowns for him. After that, I have Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel is just a versatile wide receiver still of San Francisco. He's going to get rushing attempts going forward. It's even a part of his contract, like for him to get incentives, goddammit. And after that, Davante Adams. It would be nice to see him see Tom Brady go there and have Adams have another Hall of Fame quarterback throwing passes for next couple years. And Adams is 30. He doesn't turn 31 until December 24th.
Okay. All right. Perfect. You know, I'm such a massive ageist in dynasty leagues. It's probably I go too far. Like once people hit 30, like I'm dead. No. They're dead. Literally they're put them in a coffin and bury them. Like that's my attitude, especially like any of those 30, DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams. I have them like super low.
I want no part of DeAndre Hopkins, honestly, in Dynasty going at this point. At some point, DeAndre Hopkins isn't going to just still keep mossing guys at the catch point.
Yeah, that's true. You know, he does rely on that, whereas Cooper Kupp has a little bit more of a game that could age a little bit better. But Adams, too. Last three wide receivers I have up here for my redraft. And, you know, this is why, Chris Olave was on the cusp. Garrett Wilson was on the cusp. There's a lot of guys on the cusp. And, you know, it just – These next three are super talented guys. So it's just hard to jam everybody in there. But I have DK Metcalf, Jalen Waddle, and T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. DK Metcalf has only had one top 10 wide receiver finish this in his career, but I expect that change next year. Tyler Lockett's going to be 31 years old next season, coming off a huge playoff game, target machine at the end of last year. Jalen Waddle, this is as long as Tua stays relatively healthy for most of next season, I think Jalen Waddle, you know, he was a bit boom and bust, but those boom games are, you know, can win you weeks. And I think he is still a wide receiver 1. And then I have T. Higgins just right behind him. T. Higgins is also pretty little bit boom and bust with Ja'Marr Chase in the lineup. Yeah, he does, you know, obviously when Ja'Marr Chase missed time, we've seen how dominant he can be. But Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, you know, unfortunately, they were already friends. You know, fortunately for T. Higgins, Ja'Marr mm-hmm. Chase and Joe Burrow were eating breakfast together for years.
I know.
that whole year at LSU, they were eating breakfast and having pancakes together in the morning. So, unfortunately for T. Higgins, he's second fiddle there. But that doesn't mean he's still not a wide receiver 1 next year, so I like him there. How about your dynasty wide receivers last 3?
Oh, fun fact, Ja'Marr Chase actually picks out a lot of Joe Burrow's clothes.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Shock you at all. For me, coming up next, Devontae Smith. Great route runner. Jalen Hurts has shown he can put up 2 wide receiver 1s in the same season, and I think that's going to continue going forward. The way Smith wins, he's just such a good route runner, good at getting open. Next, I have Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Detroit Lions. Target machine. I think Jared Goff has a good connection with him, and he wins in the slot, wins underneath. If there's a rookie quarterback, he's going to also have a safety blanket right there. And my last one is Tyreek Hill. I know, older wide receiver, but I think he has a good couple of years left to be a wide receiver 1, especially with Tua going forward.
I think I actually have Tyreek Hill higher than you in my dynasty ring. I have to look, but I think I might have him ahead of Amon-Ra Brown. My concern about Amon-Ra St. Brown is a little quieter end of the season mm-hmm. that wasn't the targets, but then we add in Jameson Williams. And then what if DeAndre Swift becomes a bigger part of the offense? And then, you know, that all of a sudden there's a lot of mouths to feed. That's my only concern about Amon-Ra St. Brown and why I do not have him. That's the big one that actually – I said Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. That's going to be the one that people are going to be coming after me for, that I don't have Amon-Ra St. Brown in my top 12 wide receivers next year. And he was the wide receiver 13, actually. And it was Garrett Wilson at 14, mm-hmm. Olave at 15. Those three were my next three up. But I just am a little concerned about the target volume.
Yeah, and also, there's just so many good wide receivers, like you just said. Like my list didn't even have Chris Olave. We didn't even talk about George Pickens at all and the rookie season he had. Pickens of receptions of over 20 yards had the third most yards in the NFL.
I think I'm a little lower on Pickens than everybody else. I just, you know, he's a big play wide.
Is it because of Kenny Pickett?
No, it could be. That's a little bit of the reason. You know, maybe it's because I've seen him use the stadium itself as a weapon in a video before. him just tossing cornerbacks into the side of the stadium. Yep. You know what I mean? Just like, oh my God.
He's NFL young boy, man. I love him. He's
oh God. Yeah. So George Pickens, I have him as a high end wide receiver 3 in my dynasty rankings. A little bit lower than some people, I think. I do have Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams a little bit higher. I lean on draft capital quite a bit too. You know,
yeah.
You can't lean on it too when they start playing in the NFL, but 1 year in, I'm still kind of leaning on that as well. We'll dive into the tight ends real quick. Just, you know, 5 minutes here. We'll keep this one kind of brief. I'm just doing my top 3 tight ends here. Well, we'll start off with Travis Kelce. I'm not even going to dive into it. You know, he was fantastic. A little slower into the end of the year, so maybe we are seeing that. You know, maybe we have finally seen the best of him, but still tight end 1. Mark Andrews, I expect to bounce back next year with Lamar Jackson. It was really close, though, with these next 3. You know what? I'm just going to go to 4 here because I have these 4 yep. here, 3 here so close. TJ Hockenson. No, I'm sorry. I skipped Kyle Pitts. I have Kyle Pitts. You know, I was doing my rankings. I didn't have my tight end rankings already done this morning, and I was jamming people in, yeah. And I forgot about Kyle Pitts. So I have re-inserted Kyle Pitts. 3 what?
So did Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I know he did. Gosh darn it. But he was number 5 in air yards. Number 5 yeah, in air yards despite missing 6 games.
Are
you kidding me? That is insane.
Having Kyle Pitts out there is like having Calvin Johnson play the tight end position from a physical standpoint. I hated that Desmond Ridder did not get more chances with Kyle Pitts because we saw Drake London's production start to spike up a little bit too. Desmond Ridder likes to throw those taller wide receivers. Another wide receiver we didn't talk about before, Drake London, but I think Kyle Pitts is going to have a better year next year. I agree with you there.
I can't help it. Yeah, he gets targeted so deep downfield. There's no other tight end like him. If he just gets a few of these, he's going to be very productive. TJ Hockenson is actually number 3 target machine since week 9, 10, 9, 6, 6, 8, 9, 16, 12. That's the targets. That's insane. So only 3 touchdowns over that span, though. So, you know, that's kind of the catch 22, but that could change next year. So tight end 3, George Kittle, tight end 4. You know, the best thing for him might be Brock Purdy because he's had some really good games with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is going to focus on, being a limited quarterback, focusing on tight end, not too surprising. I'm just going to go all the way to 6 here, and we'll just do 2 rounds. Dallas Goedert, you know, tight end 5. I think if he played the whole year, I think that's about where you would have seen him. He hasn't done it yet, though. Couple tight end 10 finishes, a couple like tight end 21 finishes in fantasy football. So we're counting on him to do something we haven't seen yet, though. And at the number 6 spot, this was where I really started to have some trouble. Dalton Schultz, this is assuming the Dallas Cowboys can get him back. I would probably drop him a bit if he decided to move away in free agency, though. How about you hit me with those top 6 dynasty tight ends?
All right. So I'm also big on winning now in dynasty. You don't have to wait to win now. Travis Kelce is still my tight end 1. Until I legitimately see a big step down in production, Mahomes not firing to him, Kelsey's going to still win by game between zones. Travis Kelce is still my tight end 1. Okay. 2, Mark Andrews. He's the best receiver on the Baltimore Ravens, regardless of what position, pretty much. He's more talented than Rashad Bateman still, of actually catching the football. George Kittle at 3.
Where's Kyle Pitts going to come in these rankings? Where's Kyle Pitts?
Right after.
Okay. All right.
Kyle Pitts is 4 for me. But 3 for George Kittle, just because I do think the upside with Trey Lance next year is going to be there. We're going to see George Kittle used more in the passing game.
Okay.
And also, without Jimmy G, we've actually seen George Kittle get more production. When those games with Jimmy Garoppolo this season were not great for Kittle.
Yeah, they were not.
4, Kyle Pitts. This year really did kind of scare me off of Kyle Pitts just a little bit. But I'm not going to quit his athleticism. He's still a generation.
It sounds like you're quitting. In Dynasty tight end 4, it sounds like you're quitting.
I mean, I didn't sell any of my shares. I have. I'm holding on my shares with Kyle Pitts. I have. So, I mean.
You better not cash him out for George Kittle.
Probably not. Then after that, I have TJ Hockenson, 1 of 2 tight ends this year that put up over 1,000 yards receiving. I think his connection with Kirk Cousins is great. I think he's going to be the number two option behind Justin Jefferson next year in the passing game. And Dallas Goedert right after that at six.
All right. That's a solid top six. I like that. Fairly similar players here, because the top six is – that's essentially where the cliff is. Next guy, the next name I have up here probably can be inserted in there too. Pat Freiermuth is my tight end seven in redraft next year. Dealt with a rookie quarterback, was the tight end eight despite two touchdowns, which is unusual. Tight ends are usually very touchdown dependent. So Pat Freiermuth got the work, you know, gets a few more touchdowns next year, lots of potential. David Njoku, I agree with you earlier. I think he's going to have a big year. He's my tight end eight. If we're looking at the contract improvement with Deshaun Watson, going to be a big part of the offense. Tight end nine, Evan Engram. He had a fantastic year, tight end five and 22. I expect a small step back with Calvin Ridley. You're just going to see, that there's a lot of weapons to feed in that offense. So Evan Engram, tight end nine, despite having a big year. And the next two up I have here are, I think I listed seven the first time because I went to seven because I didn't count Kyle Pitts' name in there because I was doing him last second. But
okay.
So now I'm doing 11 and 12. So everybody I just said, move them down one peg. I just said so. Pat Freiermuth, tight end eight. David Njoku, tight end nine. Evan Engram, tight end 10. Here we are, tight end 11. Cole Kmet. He's going to be his fourth year next year. Showed some chemistry of field, seven touchdowns down the stretch the second half of the season. Yeah. The offense, like you said, the free agent pool is not fantastic and they might get somebody in the draft, but they're going to develop. So, I don't expect him to be buried down the depth chart next season or down the target list. So tight end 11, and then Dawson Knox, my tight end 12, four or five games with a touchdown at the end of the regular season, had a nice little playoff game against the Bengals last week, five receptions, 65 yards. I just had to find a name there. That's kind of tough. When we get to this point, it's ugly. And then after that, it's just like a cliff, maybe Taysom Hill only because he's going to have three giant weeks next year. And that'll be enough to get him into the tight end rankings. But I wouldn't want to draft him in my top 12.
No, Taysom Hill is more a guy I'm going to pick up and spot start more or less than one to rely on during the year.
You have the tougher job. You're gonna have to list the last six dynasty top tight ends, and that's a tougher job.
My next one is David Njoku. Okay. I do think he's gonna have a nice end of his career with Deshaun Watson.
He's young too. You say the end of his career, he's young.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping he's in Cleveland the rest of his career with Deshaun Watson. Next, like,
got 10 more years.
Hopefully 10 years. Hey, Gen Z players retire young, man.
That's true. That's actually true.
Yeah. After that, I have Pat Freiermuth right there at eight. I do think he's going to grow a little bit with Kenny Pickett. He should see more touchdowns going forward. Then I have Cole Kmet growing more with Justin Fields going down the line. He had some explosive plays down the field. We should continue to see that. Then I have Dawson Knox, Josh Allen's best friend right after that. Then Dalton Schultz, and 12 is Evan Engram. I'm low on Evan Engram for one reason only. I don't think he's going to be the starter there for very long going forward. Doug Peterson is great at scheming up production for tight ends. We saw it in Philly. There was multiple tight ends that can get production for them. He's going to draft another one this year. And if Evan Engram has another slow start like he did this year, he might not get as much playing time.
Okay, I love that. All right. Well, hey, we covered more than I thought we would today, man. I'm gonna have to be adding hashtags to this dynasty rankings, fantasy rankings.
Yeah,
there's all this stuff coming at you. You know what? That's so funny because I thought that this morning too. I was just like, man, I didn't make that clear, did I? My name's the Dynasty Analyst, which makes it even harder for you. We did a Dynasty podcast last week. It's just me. Yeah. That was my fault. I should have been more clear.
Oh no, man! Communication's a two-way street. That's how it is.
Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this kind of tag team. The quarterback rankings, we didn't specify at the beginning, but yes, we did a little redraft in dynasty quarterback rankings at the beginning there. I provided the redraft. He did the dynasty. So we came at you with both sides this weekend. What are you working on coming up, man? What's your podcast? Remind me the folks of your podcast.
So we have a pitch. We have a podcast that is on YouTube every week. It's called Pitch Pass Podcast. a fellow Chiefs fan, just like Emerson here. My friend Brett is my co-host. We go over all the games every week and predictions for the following week, a couple of fun stories in between. We both have ADHD, so it goes off the rails at multiple points. So it's fun.
All right. I love it. Perfect. Yeah, you can catch me back here. I'll be doing the show on Sundays now. Like I said, like we were just talking about, sometimes it'll be dynasty, it'll be redraft, and when underdogs come back around in a couple months, it'll be best ball. So we'll be doing a little bit of everything. I write articles for SGPN, a dynasty article for SGPN every week. I do a little bit of everything for TWSN. Those articles will vary, but you can find my stuff over there. Yep, and you can follow us, me at Dynasty_Analyst, and Brandon Carco.
At Brando Carco, right? At Twitter, or you can just type in my name in Twitter. I think I'm the only Karkowitz you'll find on Twitter.
I think that's a unique name. I think you'll have, they'll have any trouble. But yes, thank you for joining me, everybody. Thank you for joining me, Brandon, and have a great day, everybody. All right. Thank you so much.